Hello, Iowa! It's great to be back. Oh, so much love. So much love. I see some math hats, too. What does math stand for? Does anyone know? Make America think harder. That's right. Because the opposite of Donald Trump is an Asian man who likes math. And that's this guy. So what do we mean by make America think harder? I'm not a career politician. I'm an entrepreneur and problem solver. And I'm running for president to help wake up America to the real problems that got Donald Trump elected. If you were just to flip on the cable news, why would you think that Donald Trump's our president today? Why would you think that Donald Trump won Iowa by 9 points? Russia. Emails. Facebook. Hillary Clinton. Yeah, that's somewhere on the list. To me, the driving force behind Donald Trump's victory was that we automated away 4 million manufacturing jobs in Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Missouri, and 40,000 right here in Iowa. Now, if you think about those 40,000 jobs in Iowa, that's 40,000 families, and it's not just the manufacturing jobs. If you go to the shopping district, or what used to be the shopping district, what do you see? How many of you have noticed stores closing around where you work and live? It's not just you. 30% of America's stores and malls are closing in the next 4 years. And why is that? Amazon. That's right. It's a one-word answer. Amazon's soaking up $20 to $30 billion in commerce every single year. And how much are you seeing? How much did Amazon pay in taxes last year? Zero. That's right. Amazon, this is the math. Amazon sucks up $20 to $30 billion from your communities. 30% of your stores and malls close. People lose their jobs. The most common job in Iowa and in the United States is a retail worker. The average retail worker is a 39-year-old woman making between $9 and $10 an hour. So if 30% of your stores and malls close, what is she going to do for her next opportunity? You're getting zero in return because Amazon's paying zero in taxes. How is it possible that a $1 trillion tech company paid less in taxes than everyone here today? Corruption. That's a one-word answer again. That's right. Money has overrun our system. Money has overrun our politics. And Amazon is laughing its way to the bank. Now, these are the real problems that helped get Donald Trump elected. It's not just manufacturing or Amazon closing the retail stores. My friends in Silicon Valley are working on cars and trucks that can drive themselves. Think about what that's going to mean here in Iowa. I was just at Iowa 80, the country's largest truck stop. Raise your hand if you've been to Iowa 80. Must everyone, right? Because they've got a mean buffet. It's a good value. So Iowa 80 talks about, proudly, 5,000 people stop there every single day. Biggest truck stop in the country. What's going to happen in 5 to 10 years when the trucks start driving themselves? Driving a truck is the most common job in 29 states, including this one. Raise your hand if you know a truck driver. I have a truck driver in the family. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. My friends in Silicon Valley are working on trucks that can drive themselves for the most American of reasons, for the money. $168 billion a year in cost savings if they can successfully get rid of truck drivers' jobs. That's a lot of money. That's an unthinkable amount of money. It's so much money that if you're an investor and someone comes to you and says, hey, if you invest $1 billion in my company, I think I can help get rid of truck drivers, you make that bet. And then what do? They hire hundreds of the smartest engineers in our country who are working on that problem right now. And they tell me they are 98% of the way there. They say they're 2% from getting rid of truck drivers. Now, that's a big 2% because you can't have trucks slamming into things at a 2% error rate. I mean, that's not a good plan. But to bet against these engineers and investors eventually solving for the last 2% is a losing bet. Because you're betting against the amassed capital and technology of our entire society trying to get rid of truck drivers. So what's that going to mean for the 3.5 million Americans who drive a truck for a living? Or the 7 million Americans who work in truck stops, motels, and diners that rely on the truckers getting out and having a meal? These are the real problems of our time. We're in the midst of the greatest economic transformation in our country's history, what experts call the Fourth Industrial Revolution. When's the last time you've heard a politician say the words Fourth Industrial Revolution? Just now is the first time. And I am barely a politician. So this is why I'm running for president. I spent the last 7 years helping create thousands of jobs around the country, and people were clapping me on the back, giving me medals, being like, how'd you do it, Andrew? And I was like, no, you don't get it. I was pouring water into a bathtub that has a giant hole ripped in the bottom. The water is rushing out the bottom. It got Donald Trump elected, and it's about to take off. I'm going to use one last example on the technology front. When you call a customer service line right now, and you get that bot, that software, what do? You pound 000, human, 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 right? You say human, human, human into the phone over and over again until you get a human. I do the same thing. We all do it. But in 2 or 3 years, when you get that bot, it's going to sound like this. Hey, Andrew, how's it going? What can I do for you? It'll be efficient. It'll be delightful. You might not even know it's software. And what's that going to mean for the hundreds of thousands of Americans who work in call centers for a living right now, who make on average $14 an hour? So this is a buzzsaw. It's tearing through many, many different parts of our economy. I was an unhappy attorney for 5 months, and I guarantee you can automate that job. That's true. Like, software can actually go through document review and read contracts and do all that stuff better, faster than a human. So we're in the midst of this incredible, epic transformation. Our politicians are not talking about it at all. And I know this because I went to Washington, D.C. in 2017. I said, what are we going to do about the fact that technology is ripping apart our labor force and immigrants are getting scapegoated and immigrants have nothing to do with it? So what do you think the good folks in Washington, D.C. said to me when I said, what are we going to do about the fact that Americans are going through this fundamental transformation no one knows? They're doing nothing. That's right. He was in the room. Well, not one of them literally said to me, actually several said to me, we cannot talk about that. Number two, we should study that. Number three, we must educate and retrain all Americans for the jobs of the future. That last one sounds kind of decent and responsible. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm for that. But I did the math. Do you all want to guess how effective government-funded retraining programs were for the manufacturing workers here in Iowa? 0 to 15%, that's right. That's a failing grade by any standard, any curve. Like 0 to 15%. Half of the manufacturing workers that lost their jobs left the workforce and never worked again. And of that group, half filed for disability, and then we saw surges in drug overdoses and suicides in those communities to the point where our life expectancy as a country has declined for the last 3 years. Do you know the last time American life expectancy declined 3 years in a row? Spanish flu of 1918, 100 years. We're in Spanish flu territory because our society and our economy have stopped working for us. And the folks in Washington, D.C. will do absolutely nothing about this. We all know this. There's someone in Washington, D.C. who actually said something that brought me here to you all today in Iowa. He said, Andrew, you're in the wrong town. No one here in Washington will do anything about this because this is not a town of leaders. This is a town of followers. And the only way we would do anything is if you create a wave in other parts of the country and bring it crashing down on our heads. And I said to that, Iowa, challenge accepted. That's why I'm here in Iowa, because this is the ideal, the optimal place to create a wave and bring it crashing down on DC's heads. You do not need that many Iowans to start a revolution. I have done the math. Do you know how many Californians each Iowan is worth? 1,000 Californians, that's right. You look around this crowd, what are there, 300 Iowans? That's 300,000 Californians. That's like 7 football stadiums worth of Californians. This is how you start a revolution in Iowa. Because all you need is 40,000 Iowans and then the vision sweeps the country. So what is the vision? What the heck am I talking about? How are we gonna solve for this? If you've heard anything about me, you've heard this. There's an Asian man running for president who wants to give everyone $1,000 a month, right? And those three things are all true. And the first time you heard this $1,000 a month, you said, ha ha, it's a gimmick. Like, it can never happen. But $1,000 a month dividend, a citizen's dividend, has been with the country since our founding. Thomas Paine was for it, called it the citizen's dividend. Martin Luther King fought for it, called it a guaranteed minimum income, and it is what he was fighting for on the day he was assassinated in 1968. Poor people's campaign today, that's right. 1,000 economists endorsed it in the 70s. It was so mainstream, it passed the U.S. House of Representatives twice. in 1971 came this close to being law, and one state actually passed a dividend about 10 years later where everyone in that state now gets between $1,000 and $2,000 a year, no questions asked. And what state is that?
Alaska.
And how do they pay for it?
Oil.
And what is the oil of the 21st century?
Technology.
Technology, that's right. They call it the oil check in Alaska, and they love it. We're going to call this the tech check, and we're all going to love it. And if you think, how can you possibly afford $1,000 a month for every American? Amazon's paying zero in taxes. Google, Facebook, Uber, all these mega tech companies, they're investing billions in AI, and how much are you going to see of that?
Zero.
That's what we have to change. We have to make the economy work for us, the owners and shareholders of this country. This is the vision for a trickle-up economy. From our people and our families and our communities up. And I was just talking to a few people on the way in where they were laughing about that, the fact that, you know, the Trump tax cut didn't actually get money into our hands and the trickle-down economy doesn't work. And they were saying the best way to get money into the economy would be to give it to us. Because what would we do? What would we spend it on? Go ahead, shout it out. What would you spend it on?
Tuition,
car repairs, child care, daycare, housing, Little League signups. How much of that money would stay right here in Iowa?
90%.
Not all of it, but most of it. Some of it would float up to Amazon and the gang. You'd buy an extra toaster, you know, it'd be fine. But most of it would stay right here in your communities. It would create 40,000 jobs right here in Iowa. And it would help give rural areas a path forward, because we all know that rural areas are getting depleted. And if you're a rural area, what happens when your kids come of age? They're looking around saying, I have to leave here in order to have the kind of life that I want. And that is not the way it should be in the United States of America.
Right.
So this is the freedom dividend, and there is nothing stopping us from making it happen. There is nothing stopping a majority of citizens of a democracy from passing ourselves a dividend. Companies do it all the time, every day. And when companies do it, what do we say? We say, great job, good management. Verizon, Coke, Microsoft, all those companies, they give money to shareholders. We are the owners of this country. We can return some of it to ourselves, and it's the only way we're going to get it back. This country, unfortunately, follows the almighty dollar, so the thing to do is just to give us all more dollars. That's the basic plan. And so this is the big vision of an economy that would work for us, but we can't stop there. How many of you were excited about GDP when you woke up this morning? How many of you were like, I'm going to make a big contribution to GDP today? I can feel it. Of course not. It's ridiculous. GDP is at record highs. You know what else are at record highs right now in America?
Suicide.
Anxiety, depression, mental illness, suicides, drug overdoses. It's all heading the wrong direction. How many of you run a business or run an organization? You know, if you have the wrong measurements, you're never going to go anywhere. What good is GDP being at record highs if our communities are falling apart? Robot trucks are going to be great for GDP. They're going to be terrible for a lot of Americans. So if we want to transition to an economy that works for us and GDP is an increasingly meaningless measurement, what would actually get you excited if I told you this got better for the people of Iowa? Health and life expectancy. If I said, hey, we're healthier and living longer, you'd be like, that's great. That would actually make you pretty happy, right? What else? Clean air and clean water. Yeah, kids, childhood success rates. How about mental health and freedom from substance abuse? How much of us are actually enjoying the work that we're doing? So these are the measurements we actually have numbers for. And GDP is something that we made up almost 100 years ago, where even the inventor said a few things. He said, we should never use this as a measurement for national well-being because this is the inventor of GDP. He said 100 years ago, this is a terrible measurement for national well-being and we shouldn't use it as that. So what are we doing 100 years later? We're like following it off a cliff. The other thing he said was that we should include parenthood and motherhood in particular as part of the measurement because it had so much value. And right now, my wife is at home with our two young boys, one of whom is autistic. What is her work included at in our economy?
Zero.
What does she get paid? Zero. We know that's perverse. We know that the work she's doing is among the most challenging and vital work in our community today. Certainly, it's much more valuable than the average hedge fund manager's work. I'll tell you, I trade places with my wife. Raise your hands if you're a parent. I trade places with my wife for a day or two, and I'm like, let me get back to running for president. You know what I'm talking about. So we have to start broadening what we think of as work and value. We have to do it as fast as possible. Because right now, our economy is evolving in fundamental ways. They don't get it in Washington, D.C. And we have to take this vision and bring it to the rest of the country as fast as possible. That's why I'm here with you in Iowa. Iowa, you all don't know how good you have it, but you have like this responsibility that you take very, very seriously, and I love you for it. It's like you know that you have this power. You're a bit spoiled. You're kind of used to presidential candidates coming and like, you know, showing up in, you know, like your living room, essentially. Like, I've only met him once. I don't know what I think of that Yang guy. But the power is real. You have to use that power and take it and bring this vision to the rest of the country this time. Because if you lose this opportunity, you have 4 more years of the AI getting smarter, of your stores closing, of the call center starting to shutter. Like, this is, we have to make this move. You all are in some ways ground zero. You've seen it on your farms. You've seen it on your main streets. You're going to see it on your highways soon. If Iowa does not make this case, we're going to lose this opportunity, and we need to make the most of it right now. So this is the vision. This is the vision of the trickle-up economy that works for us, of an economy that we can be proud to pass along to our children. And this is not left, this is not right, this is forward. And that is how we're gonna win the whole thing in 2020. Thank you very much, Iowa. I love you guys, thank you. You're amazing. Thank you, and now we're gonna take some questions because that's how the Yang Gang rolls. Where's my music? I'm kidding, there's no music. But yeah, we're gonna try and take some questions. So if you shout out a question to me, I'm gonna repeat it, and then we're gonna do this. And woman in the back, yes, with the red balloon. Go ahead, shout it out.
What if I am doing for church and state separation? What are you doing for church and state separation?
Oh, thank you. Look at that, she had better ears than I do. Well done. So the question is, how do we ensure that the church and state stay separated? And that, this is something that's been engraved in our country's DNA from day one. So we need to know that there are many different ways to worship in this country, and we need to have the government and people's faith be independent of each other. And speaking for myself personally, I married a Christian woman. Now we're bringing our boys up in the Christian faith, and it's been tremendous for our family. But I know that there are many different ways that people grow up, and certainly the government should not be making those sorts of decisions for anybody. So another question. Yes, with the glasses.
So, in the time of a recession, so I know you have a value added tax, but how can we make sure that people are consistently getting that revenue? That 10% back, even if like spending goes down, unemployment goes
down. So he's asking, how can we make sure that we keep the revenue coming in? And so, and there was a person here up here, I'm not sure who it was, I think it was you, sir, who was talking about how our deficits are record high. So I've been a business person, I've run a company that was quite successful. And when you have a debt problem as a business, you look at your revenue and you look at your expenses. And right now we have both a revenue problem and an expense problem in this country. So the revenue problem is that for the big winners of the 21st century economy, we're seeing next to nothing. Because they're really, really good at just moving all the income through Ireland or expensing it all through stock compensation, and we just don't get the money. So we need to reform our tax code so we actually get a fair share of every Uber ride, every Facebook ad, every Google search, every Amazon sale, and that's immense. That's hundreds of billions of dollars. On the expense side, we have to start spending a little bit more wisely in some instances. So one of my plans is to take some of our military defense budget and move it towards infrastructure, because that's something we're going to need for a long time. It's going to produce economic value. It's going to produce a lot of the same sorts of jobs. And that's one way we can become much more efficient as a country, is by taking some of our resources on both sides. This is going to be very unpopular, too. I think we should have it so the IRS just fills our taxes out for us. Why are we all knocking our heads out trying to figure out our taxes every year? They know what our taxes are. They have the taxes every previous year. They can just, like, fill that out for us, and then you can, like, sign off being, like, check, and then you can do something meaningful with your day. I would turn tax day into revenue day. I would make it a national holiday. We would celebrate the fact that we had another awesome year, hundreds of billions in new revenue. We'd have a party, and we'd have it a national party. There'd be a thank you video from Oprah and The Rock and Tom Hanks saying, thank you, America. We did it for one more year. Here's where your money went. That's the kind of thing we need to do in this country. Instead of treating us all like we're somehow servants to the state, no, we're the owners, we're the shareholders, and we deserve to be treated like it. Thank you very much, Iowa. Thank you. I appreciate it. Happy sixth birthday to Quinlan. Look at that. I just wish someone a happy birthday. That's what happens when you get notes. We're very suggestible. As soon as you run for office, you'll just read anything anyone puts in your hand. Thank you all. I love you, Iowa. See you on the debate stage in September and October. Thanks to you. That's right. Yang Gang. Thank you.